Quest for Gold. I'm Ryan Burrow. We are now 68 days away from the Summer Games in Paris. The U.S. Men's Indoor Volleyball Olympic team has been named. It includes Thomas Jaysky and Jeff Jendrick, who we've spoken to before on Quest for Gold. Congrats to them. The 12-member team includes 9 athletes with Olympic experience and 3 first-timers. The U.S. is currently ranked number 2 in the world. The team medaled last with a bronze in Rio. Women's basketball star Brittany Griner suffered a toe fracture with the Phoenix Mercury. It's impacting her WNBA season. We'll see if that has any impact on her chances of making and playing on Team USA this summer. Speaking of basketball, France has announced its Olympic men's roster. No major surprise. It includes NBAers Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert. Longtime USA swimming coach John Urbanchek died this week at the age of 87. He began coaching in the 1960s and was a member of numerous Olympic coaching staffs into the 2010s. USA Swimming released a statement saying, quote, John will be missed around the pool deck, but his impact on the sport will continue for decades, end quote. The first of 2 Olympic qualifiers for skateboarding gets underway in China this weekend. To qualify for Team USA, each skateboarder will need to be in the top 200 in the world rankings and top 3 for the U.S. A second qualifier will take place in Budapest in June. These qualifying events are like festivals, so a lot of fun for the spectators as well as the athletes, and breakers or breakdancers will also be taking part in the same event, the Olympic qualifier. Top-ranked golfer Scottie Scheffler says he definitely wants to compete for the red, white, and blue in Paris this summer. Scheffler's in pretty good shape to make the team, though the U.S. has a maximum 4 slots for the men's team, and 6 of the top 10 golfers in the world are from the U.S., so it's likely going to be highly competitive for those hoping to compete in Paris. Congratulations to Jordan White. The American is the youngest U.S. archer to ever qualify for the Paralympics. He's just 15. U.S. soccer has announced the men's Olympic team will face off against Japan on June 11th in a warm-up in Kansas City and final preparations for the U.S. before playing in Paris. The roster still has not been formally announced. The so-called anti-sex beds athletes saw in Japan are coming back to Paris. They're smaller and have flimsier materials. They're meant to prevent some of the extracurricular activities we've seen in previous Olympics. This week on Quest for Gold, we had a chance to speak with Greco-Roman wrestler Joe Rau. The Chicago native missed out on Tokyo in a controversial finish and thought he was done. But in 2024, he's got an Olympic bid in hand and he's headed to Paris.
All right, so I talked with you back in 2021 and you were done, man. You had taken off your shoes, indicating that it was all over. What's happened since 2021 and today?
So 2021, yeah, like I left the sport pretty bitter and angry. I didn't feel like I got a fair shake at Olympic trials. I took it to arbitration. So basically it's like court for sports, you know, and I lost there too. It was a really hard case to win. I had to prove that there was bias, which is almost impossible looking back at it, but, we couldn't fight the calls. But then, you know, after that whole experience, I really wanted to get out of the sport altogether. And I guess Destiny had another plan. I ended up, you know, after taking a couple months off, end up being a coach at the Northwestern University and coaching there for 2 years. And that's kind of what pulled me back into the sport as a competitor. I was there and basically a full-time training partner for a heavyweight, and he was really dang good. So then I kind of had a get in better shape just to go with him. And through that process, I decided, oh, why don't I just show up and wrestle some freestyle? So the other style of Olympic wrestling. And I was doing pretty good in that. Tore my knee. And then I was going to come back this last year for freestyle again. And that's when the Greco coaches reached out to me and asked me to come back to, you know, Greco. And at first I said no. And then, you know, kind of thought about it more and did some soul searching, and I decided, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. So it was kind of like getting back with an ex-girlfriend or something. Sure, and sure. I gave it another shot, and it's been pretty dang good since I've come back, to say the least. So, you know, it made sense and it felt right, and I was having the success that gave me the proof that I still could become an Olympian. So then I was like, why the heck not go for it?
Wrestling, obviously you started building up wrestling, you started wrestling again, but I mean, was Paris ultimately the goal? When did that start becoming a possibility, a real possibility for you of making an Olympic team?
Yeah, I mean, like last year I came back and I made the world championship team. And when I first came back and competed, it literally was just show up to US Open Nationals and just feel like, let's figure out two things. Let's see if I'm still capable. And, you know, I walked through the tournament and won it. And I'm like, all right, I'm still capable of being the guy. And then it, from that point on, it was just an, you know, answering, do I want to do it? You know, because I know you could be even the best guy in the country, but doing this full time and coming back and winning when it counts in an Olympic year is a whole other animal. So that was, it wasn't like one moment as much as it was a long process of talking with my wife and, you know, with my boss, you know, the head coach of Northwestern and stuff like that. Like, hey, I'm going to maybe take this more seriously. I'm going to go to a Pan Am Championships and then go to a Pan Am Championships. And I won that too. And it's like, okay, I guess I'm going to go to World Championships if I win trials, you know, and then I win trials. And I was like, after I won trials, which like gets you the spot on the US team for World Championships, I was like, okay, I need to come back full time. Because I made that world championship team pretty much just doing this part time and really just being more of a college coach. And at that point, I was like, let's not squander this. Like, this is a real opportunity here. And that whole last year was kind of more of a test for me. Like, do I got what it takes? And that's not just like, can I win? It's like, do I got what it takes to wake up every morning and do everything right? You know? And so
What did your wife think in that process? Was she like, oh, not another cycle? You know what I mean? Or was she very supportive? I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer for that, right?
I think she is very supportive, and she saw how like bent out of shape I was about how my career ended. And I think most people that cared about me told me that that's not like the right way to go out, but it's easy for them to say. It's like, it's not them that has to, you know, dedicate all this time and effort and energy back into trying one more time. But I think she was always very supportive of whatever I wanted to do. But on the flip side of that, she definitely was not happy that I was going to lose, you know, everything that being a, you know, a full-time employee at Northwestern, you know, gave me health insurance, and it gave me a good paycheck, and it kept me near her in Chicago and around the rest of my family. So that part of it, very supportive, with the caveat that, like, you know, it's not easy on us as a couple, and we make a whole lot less money with me coming back wrestling, you know, but supportive nonetheless, you know.
Yeah. What is different? How are you different than you were in the 2016 cycle and the 2021 cycle? Are you different physically? Are you different mentally? Or are you pretty much wrestling the same way?
I think there's definitely a lot of similarities. You know, I'm still me, but I think mentally and physically, I'm a completely different person. In some ways better, some ways worse. You know, I think everything's better as long as I know my limits. You know, I'm not 25 anymore. I think I can't rely on my physical attributes as much as I used to. And so then I think I'm a much stronger wrestler mentally. I'm a much stronger like person mentally. And I think I'm smarter. I'm smarter at how I train every day. I'm more disciplined. I have to do everything right because I'm not some 20-something-year-old that recovers immediately. So I have to do a whole lot more to keep my body healthy and keep my mind right. And I think that if I weren't the kind of person that learned like the hard lessons that things can go so wrong, you know, if you're Icarus and you fly across the sun, you know, like if you just go ball to the wall all the time, that's when you like tear your knee like I did in 2016. And that's like, you know, you get those things that happen that kind of really check your ego. So I'm very, I play it a lot more tighter now in a much more disciplined way. And I also kind of advocate for myself better. So like, I think that's been the game changer. And then through all those years of experience, I think I'm just, when it comes to the wrestling, I know a lot more too. So it's relying on my brains, I guess, whatever brains I have still in there versus my brawn, I guess.
Are you, is 33 kind of the end of the wrestling cycle? I mean, where are you at in comparison to some of the other wrestlers?
Most likely this is it for me. I'll never say never, cause I didn't think I'd be doing this here right now. You know, every wrestler is different. I think it really comes down to a lot of different factors, how you age, how you took care of yourself, how you trained. I think I can credit a lot of my longevity in the sport with like success still to like really, really investing a lot of time and money into recovery and into a less is more approach. Now that I got older, you know, there's a lot of athletes having great results, which where they're focusing on quality of workouts versus quantity and focused work and stuff like that. And so I think because of that, I definitely could go to 37 and try for LA, but I'm trying to put it all on the line right now and accomplish what I want in the sport right now and go get a gold medal right now so that I don't have to go another one. You know,
is that a realistic expectation you can set for yourself now? Or, I mean, do you dream of, obviously you probably do dream of gold or dream of being on the podium, but is that too far in advance? Is that too much to think about? Is that too overwhelming? Do you just have to focus on whatever the next step is, kind of where, or maybe you're allowed to kind of think both ways? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can think a little bit about both. And I think that's where like some of the maturity comes into that's going to like come into play. If you're a young wrestler, you haven't been there or you haven't been around people that have been. And I think that it's really easy if you're only focusing on the end result, it can be really easy to like kind of really put too much pressure on yourself day to day. But I think if you're older and you're organized in your experience, you can kind of compartmentalize that. Like, I'm focusing on everything day to day, moment to moment with the goal in mind, but I'm not obsessing over the goal in mind all the time, if that makes sense. You know, like Olympic gold is what I'm doing all this for, but I already know that it's already on paper and I've already broken it down and made a plan. And that's why I'm able to focus like in each moment. And are there moments where you like, you can't sleep at night because you're dreaming of, or visualizing stuff? Yeah. But I try and not do that. You know, I try and, control it a little bit better, you know?
Are you enjoying this moment right now? The walk up to Paris and the planning and preparation?
Yeah. And I think right after I made it to the Olympics, I probably enjoyed it too much. You know, it's taken so long to get here. And now there's this moment of just like, all right, I got to really refocus and take care of business right now. But yeah, it's been a ton of fun. And I want to hit that, that good spot and have balance there with like, I want to have balance. I want to have a lot of fun while still being very focused and doing what I got to do, you know?
Yeah. What are you most looking forward to in Paris?
Yeah, I'm really excited for those opening ceremonies. It sounds really cool. We're going to be on some boats and going through the river. That's going to be sweet. I'm really excited to have my family there. For most of them, except for my dad, this is their first time they've ever been overseas. I guess my older brother's also been to Iraq, but that's not really a vacation, you know? So, I'm excited for those two things, you know, and obviously the wrestling.
Sure, sure. Well, can you explain Greco-Roman wrestling?
Yeah, so basically, like, if you've seen wrestling in high school or, college, you don't grab legs like in that style. And so it's all upper body attacks. So you can attack the upper body. You can't hook with your legs to attack, and you can't grab your opponent's legs to attack. Some of the scoring's different. That wrestling that we grew up in high school with, it's more about control, where you score points in Greco just by exposing their back, even for an instant. We don't need to hold them there at all. So those are some of the big differences. yeah, there's a lot more nuances that I can talk to you probably about for 30 minutes.
Yeah, no, you don't have to get into that, but I saw that you qualified due to a technical fall victory. First of all, what is that? And second of all, did you know right away then that you were going to the Olympics, or did you still have to wait?
Yeah, so a technical fall is basically wrestling's like slaughter rule. You scored so many points, the match is over. And I knew right at that moment I was going to the Olympics. So it was pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool to do it in that fashion too. Like, that's what I always aim for in matches, is really go out there and dominate.
What do you still have to do between now and Paris?
So in a couple days, I fly to Croatia. I do a training camp in Croatia for a couple weeks. And then I have a tournament in Budapest, Hungary. And so I'll be overseas in Europe for like, I think, 3 weeks or so. And then I come back to Colorado and I do two training camps here in Colorado. And then, July, I'm pretty much the mid-July, I'm heading out to Paris and we're getting acclimated and we're getting ready to go and compete in August.
You have your own coach, or is it a general USA wrestling coach?
Both. So at this level, it's really crazy. You got so many people. It's good and it's bad. So many people helping you out. It can be a lot. But yeah, there's U.S. coaches, and I have a personal coach. So we're hoping that my personal coach is going to be able to be credentialed and on the floor. But we've actually hit a hiccup with that right now. So I'm definitely guaranteed my Team USA coaches are going to be there, but I'm trying to get my individual coach, Brian Graham, also on the floor. He's definitely going to be at the games. We already have that booked.
What are your pre-match routines? Is there anything we should know about what you're doing? Are you chilling out in the corner, listening to music? Are you trying to get amped up?
Yeah, I think if I can wrap my routines up, it's like, it's more keeping it loose, having fun, while still like being focused at the right times. I think I wrestle my best when I'm not like getting too hyped. Sometimes I go out there and make mistakes and try and use too much muscle and stuff like that, where I'm usually listening to music, I'm doing dynamic like stretches and movements and getting my body right while I kind of goof around, and then when it's time to wrestle, I get serious, you know.
Sure. Well, I know that you're involved in comedy, right?
Yeah.
What have you been doing? First of all, you're a Chicago guy. Obviously, Chicago's got there's a lot of history with comedy, with Second City, some of the other great, great clubs. How have you gotten involved in all of that?
Yeah, so I started 10 years ago doing stand-up, and then I got way more into that kind of improv sketch stuff when I moved back home. I did Second City's like whole training center program, so I did all their classes. I auditioned into their conservatory program, and I did shows with them there, and then I auditioned into their grad review program and did a run of shows with them in that. And then since then, I've done most of my shows at a theater called Clash on Clark. It's on Montrose and Clark. And whenever I come back home, I still get opportunities to get on stage there. And then out here in Colorado, I got a place actually called, it's right here, Peak Improv Theater. And they've been really good to me and keeping me in the game while I'm out here at the Olympic Training Center. I would be getting a lot more stage time if the Olympic stuff wasn't so crazy.
Those darn Olympics, I tell you, it's just yeah. It's awful. It's cutting into your, you know, that's an interesting combination though, comedy and wrestling. You'd think that wrestlers would be serious, but I'm sure that actually helps, right? It's probably, you know, therapeutic in some ways, and I'm sure that you enjoy cracking up your competitors and teammates probably during and ahead of matches.
For me, it cuts the tension. And it's always been a part of my wrestling when I'm wrestling best. And for me, they're very connected. Like at the end of the day, they're both psychologically, they're both performance. You get nervous before comedy sets, you get nervous before matches. And I use wrestling to be able to get my head right for comedy. And I use comedy to get my head right for, you know, the stages in wrestling, which is they kind of complement each other. And especially things like improv, I think, are really good for your mind, no matter what you're doing. With wrestling, it's benefited me because, things never go as planned. you know? So it's just like you, I think it's bad if you're the type of wrestler who wants to force like an exact kind of plan you have in your head, you know, versus going with the flow. So that's what improv is. It's all going with the flow. So for me, it's kind of helped that part of my mind, and performing is performing, if you ask me.
Is that something you want to focus on maybe post wrestling when you're finally done? Do you want to focus in that comedy world, or is that just going to be kind of like a little side thing for you?
I haven't decided yet. Really, like if I had it my way, that's all I would do. You know, after this, if I could find
a Hollywood and start writing sitcoms, right?
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, that's the plan. I've done a lot of screenwriting, and I like comedy writing. I like improv. I like it all. So if I can find a way into the comedy world, as a writer or as a comedian or as an actor, like whatever way I can get in, if I can find a way to get paid to do that, I will. But if it's kind of just a hobby for the rest of my life, that's also, you know, not a bad thing.
I could imagine showing up for a job interview with the medal around your neck would be an instant second interview situation. That's just me, but I have a feeling that that would be beneficial to your career, whichever direction you go. Good luck to you. Where can people find you on social media? Are you very media savvy so people can check in on you?
Yeah. So I'm mostly on Instagram at Rausler. So it's Raustler. So it's like wrestler, but with my last name.
This week, Joe's actually going back to his old high school to chat with some students before buckling down for that Paris push. Well, that'll do it for this week's edition of Quest for Gold. Hard to believe we're less than 10 weeks away from the Summer Games. Keep it right here, and we'll continue to keep you updated as we march closer and closer to the opening ceremonies in Paris. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you here next week.